Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the first reading in Revelation 7. Then one of the elders addressed me saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." This is God's word. Please be seated. In Jesus' name. Ben, just about a year now since I've come back here to our Redeemer. And I can't say enough what a privilege that's been. But I sense a problem. And it's not a problem unique to our Redeemer. It's a problem throughout Christianity. And it needs to be dealt with. Because I think Satan is sowing doubt in the hearts of people. I've seen it here. I've seen it really everywhere I've gone in the church. You see, what Satan loves to do is he loves to take what God has said clearly and plainly and cast doubt around it. So you take, for example, back in the Garden of Eden, the serpent appears to Eve and says, "Did God really say you may not eat of this fruit? You will surely not die. God knows when you eat this fruit, you will be like him, knowing good and evil." Satan caused Eve and Adam with her to doubt what God had clearly said. He tried the same trick on Jesus when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple and tells him to throw himself down from the top of the building. And he says, "Is it not written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, to lift you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone?" Jesus handles it rightly. He points to God's word. It says, "It is also written, shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Satan wants to put doubt in your heart over what God clearly says. If I were to ask you the question, are you going to heaven when you die? How would you answer? Because I've heard answers to this question that frankly discourage me as a pastor, that make me want to pull my hair out, but I know it's Satan doing what he does best. People who say things like, you ask them, "Are you going to heaven?" And someone might say, "Well, I sure hope so. Well, maybe I will if you say a prayer for me." Or, "Well, we'll see if the good Lord thinks I've done all right." Those answers are garbage. Dear friends in Christ, I want every single one of you, if you are asked, "Am I going to heaven when I die?" to say, "Yes, I am going to heaven because the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, has taken all my sin away." Don't fall in to this lousy game of the devil that causes you to doubt what God has said clearly. That's his trick. And unfortunately, we are falling for it. Today on the church calendar, we observe All Saints' Day. Stop for a moment and think what that phrase means. All Saints. It's not just talking about the ones who are especially holy, the ones who are especially good people in God's eyes. Dear friend in Christ, it's talking about you. You are a saint. It's the point of our first reading in Revelation today from Revelation 7. Second week in a row we've heard from Revelation. John has a vision, as he's having all throughout Revelation. The book of Revelation is a series of visions John has had that are meant to bring comfort to the church. You know, a lot of us avoid the book of Revelation because we think it's a bunch of end times, plagues and wars and doom and gloom. That stuff's in there, but this stuff right here is meant to comfort you. And that's what this is today that John gives you. Says he sees a multitude that no one can number. And how does he describe them? It says they're from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And then an angel asks John, "Who are they? Who are these people, this multitude?" And John says, "Sir, you know. Tell me who they are." "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." I want you to notice how this multitude, because what John is seeing here is a picture of the heavenly host, a picture of all who will be in God's heavenly kingdom before his throne. And how does he describe them? They're from everywhere, right? They're not just Americans. They're just not upper Midwesterners. They're people who speak all different languages, who come from all different backgrounds. They are red and yellow, black and white. They are a very varied group. But the one thing they have in common is that they are clothed in white robes and they sing a song together. They are clothed in white robes. Why? Because they are made white in the blood of the Lamb. Why is this heavenly multitude able to stand before the throne of God? Only because the blood of Jesus Christ has washed them and made them clean and given them eternal life. So if you are asked, "Am I going to heaven one day?" Save it if you're going to say, "Well, I hope so." Save it if you're going to say, "Well, maybe if God thinks I'm good enough." Did Jesus die on the cross for sinners? For you? If the answer is yes, your place is in the heavenly throne room of God. And don't ever for a second let that evil, wicked, wily serpent Satan steal your hope that you have in this world. I don't know about you. We have an election on Tuesday. I swear if I get another flyer in my mailbox or a phone call on my phone, I don't care from what political party they are from, I'm going to lose my mind. If you think your hope for a better world, better future is found in whether blue wave flips things for the Democrats or Republicans hold on to their majorities, forget that. Your hope is not in who sits in Lansing, or who sits in Madison, or who runs the Congress, or even who controls the Supreme Court. Your hope, dear friends, is in the blood of the Lamb who has washed you and made you white. Let's be a church that remembers that. That we are washed. We are cleansed. We are made white. Holy. I love that word holy. It's such a deep word. And the more time I spend in the Bible myself and doing Bible studies, the more I kind of dig into the Old Testament. Gosh, that's a great word. Holy. We tend to think of holy as being pure and sinless and perfect. Yeah, those things are connected to it. But at its core, The word holy means to be set apart, to be different than all the others. We use this word all the time. I've used this example in Bible study. For example, the Holy Bible. Oftentimes you pick up a Bible, it says on the front, Holy Bible. The word Bible literally just means book. But the Holy Bible is a holy book because it's different. It's set apart from all the other books. The washing that we receive in holy baptism. The word baptism literally just means a washing, an applying of water. But holy baptism is different from other washings. It sets you apart. It takes away your sin and joins you to Christ. It's different, set apart from every other application of water. We gather today at the altar to receive Holy Communion. Now, communion is just something that we do together. At the meaning of the word communion literally means come together. So, I mean, if we went to Ed and Carol's house tonight to watch the Packer game, watch them lose to the Patriots, we would be doing that together. Sorry. You can give me a dirty look at it. It's okay. That's, in essence, a communion because you're doing it together. But a holy communion is different from the other things we do together. It's set apart. You, dear friends in Christ, are saints. You are a holy people. Are you sinless, perfect, and without blemish? Yes, you are, because the blood of Jesus has made you that way. You are different because Jesus took your sin and your shame and your wickedness upon the cross, and he carried it to his death, and he died for you because God the Father loves you and makes you his children. As John says in our epistle today from 1 John 3, when he talks about us being made the children of God, because we have a Father who loves us. That makes you different. That sets you apart. You're not like the rest of the world. Not because you've done a bunch of great things, although we as the church should do good things as God's people. We should reflect the love of Jesus in our words and in our actions. You are not saints because somehow you got a special in with God, or because he gave the right money to the church, or went and did the right mission trip, or did the right thing that you think will make God happy. You are a saint because Jesus makes it so. He's died for you and washed you. Your robes are made white in the blood of the Lamb. It's one of the beautiful paradoxes of the Christian faith. Do you know what a paradox is? Things that kind of go against each other, you can't quite resolve them. Okay? So, for example, Jesus is both fully God and fully man. That's a paradox. It doesn't seem to work, right? How can you be fully God and fully man, and yet in Jesus there he is? Or in the Lord's Supper, when we receive bread and wine, and yet it gives us Jesus' very body and blood. How can bread and wine be the true body and blood of our Lord who sits at God's right hand? And yet it's so. Well, there's another one of those paradoxes concerning each and every one of you. That you are both sinners and saints. The Reformers said, simul justus et peccator, which means simultaneously saint and sinner. You are both sinners and saints at the very same time. I did a test one time with my church in Bear Creek. It wasn't really a fair test because they're Lutherans and they're trained to answer a certain way. I asked them, raise your hand if you are without sin, holy, righteous, and perfect. And of course, not a single one of them raised their hands. Because we've been taught rightly from the time we begin to speak our beautiful Lutheran liturgy, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities. And it's true. We are poor, miserable sinners, each and every one of us, corrupted in our hearts, corrupted in our being from the time we are conceived, doing nothing but sin apart from God. And yet, us poor, miserable sinners are the ones who in baptism are clothed in white robes, who are made righteous and holy and perfect in the blood of the one who shed it for us. You, dear friends in Christ, each and every one of you, no matter what guilt you hold from the past, no matter what shame you carry of sins gone by, no matter what it is that you think is keeping you from God, this blood of Jesus Christ covers it, washes you, makes you a saint. That's who we are. That's what this church is. Saints. Every one of us washed in the blood. That is how the multitude of heaven is described. Those clothed in Jesus' righteousness, the blood of the Lamb, the Passover Lamb slain for us, given into death on Calvary's cross. So, as you leave this morning, someone asks you, what do you think? Are you going to heaven? You say, yes, because Jesus died for me and shed his blood to make me a child of the Father. I'm covered in his righteousness. I'm not perfect, I'm not holy, but Jesus is perfect and Jesus is holy and covered in him. That's what I am to God my Father. If someone were to ask you, are you perfect and sinless and without sin? You tell them, yes, but only by the blood of my Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it works, dear friends. That's who we are as a church. Holy people washed in the blood. Holy people come to receive the gifts given in his blood. Dear saints, receive this blood today in the good news that Jesus is your blood and righteousness. And know that when we speak of All Saints Day, when we sing for all the saints, we're talking about you. You see, we have days on the church calendar that deal with all sorts of different things. I mean, we have Christmas coming up soon where we rightly focus on the birth of Christ, God taking on human flesh to be our Savior. We have Good Friday, the death of Jesus on the cross, Easter, his resurrection, Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Last week it was Reformation Day, Luther and the Reformation. Well, this is your day, the day of all saints. And yet every day, every single day, remember this, you are holy in the blood of the one who was holy for you. Live in the joy of this holiness and share that joy today and always. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.